When I started thinking about World Poetry Day and my own love of poetry, I thought immediately of my friend whose name is Tim Grandy. Does anyone else know Tim? Well, he grew up here. He's a Saratogian. His dad was Bill Grandy, who did a lot of amazing and wonderful things in this community, namely building a lot of affordable housing. A lot of the smaller homes that you see off the side roads up in this neighborhood were built by Bill because he believed that everyone has a right to live in the nicest neighborhood in town. Tim is a friend. He's a little older. We were in high school at the same time, but I know him especially as a person who was a hockey coach for well over 20 years. A hockey player, hockey coach, coached the little ones all the way up through the high schoolers. And one of the things I appreciate especially about Tim is that he writes a lot of poetry. You don't often link hockey and poetry together, which is part of the reason why I love this story so much. I asked him a couple of questions and he answered them, and that's a big part of what I'm going to read to you today. But this morning at 7:30, he sent me this message. It says, "Thinking on your sermon." He writes haiku, and he sent to me this morning a poem that has three haikus linked together, and this is what it says. "Not sure what to say, the heart's vocabulary transcends simple words. More meditative, immersion into the breath, expansive stillness. What connects us all? Spirituality, no? Contemplate its source. Enjoy your day." Here's what Tim wrote to me when I asked him about his connection to poetry. "Poems come to me in moments. Moments of reflection, surely, but also moments of inspiration, when the energy that surrounds me suggests words that capture a feeling, an inkling, a thought, a recollection, an understanding." Tim is a deep thinker, obviously. "More often than not," he wrote, "the beauty of people brings the inspiration. The beauty in the rest of the world outside of people brings inspiration too. The beauty of it all surrounds us and can transport us, enthrall us, and inspire us in any given moment when we live with an open heart." Hockey coach. He goes on, "I've been fortunate enough to feel inspired on many occasions and have recorded many of the results in poems and haikus. The haikus are a favorite because they are like a little puzzle requiring me to pack more meaning into fewer words." A haiku, he wrote, "capture a moment." Does everyone know the pattern of haiku? 5, 7, 5 syllables. "Capture a moment, emblazon it with meaning, share it with others." He wrote, "My dad, who everyone called Pop Pop, Bill Grandy, inspired me to write poems, or we inspired each other, I can't recall, but both he and I wrote many poems to each other and to our family for many years." And then he said, "There are 17 syllables in the Western form of the haiku, 5 in the first and last lines and 7 in the middle. It is a simple construction limiting the choice of words and placing a high value on being succinct. It also places a premium on metaphor to engage the imagination and springboard those few words into a higher plane. I enjoy writing poems, as did my pop, but this disciplined, compact form of artistic expression appealed to me more as I didn't always find the inspiration to write a lengthy poem as my dad did, although I was often inspired by simple everyday encounters, so the haiku fit the bill perfectly." And then he wove hockey and haiku together. "Haikus," he said, "became my go-to poem format when I started a Player of the Week recognition in my Sunday," this is the title, "Sunday Hockey Cheap Therapy Sessions weekly email." So this was a group of guys who got together every Sunday, played hockey together, and every week there was an email sent among them. He said, "It started when I wrote a haiku to share with the group when I was 55 years old, capturing the limitations of my failing body. And this was the haiku he first wrote to his hockey friends. Puck out to the top, stone hands flat-footed, turnstile, double nickel truth. They loved it, so the player of the week became the poet of the week and had to write a haiku in honor of his superlative performance. So that's how we got 25 middle-aged guys reading and writing poems on a weekly basis. Imagine that, haikus, as he said, amidst the F-bombs of the hockey life. He said, I had to give up the group a few years back due to my knee problems, but I'm glad to report that they have carried on the tradition. Pretty great, right? There's poetry everywhere, isn't there, really, when you think about it. My choice of a favorite poem is easy. Like Mary, I love Robert Frost. Not just because he has deep roots in New England, but I think because this poem spoke to me when I was young, and I didn't really understand the impact that poetry could have in a life. But when I read this poem at a young age, I wish I could remember exactly when, I said, well, that's the story of me. The Road Not Taken by Robert Frost. Two roads diverged in a yellow wood, and sorry I could not travel both, and be one traveler long I stood, and looked down one as far as I could to where it bent in the undergrowth. Then took the other as just as fair, and having perhaps the better claim, because it was grassy and wanted wear. Though as for that the passing there had worn them really about the same. And both that morning equally lay, in leaves no step had trodden black. Oh, I kept the first for another day, yet knowing how way leads on to way, I doubted if I should ever come back. I shall be telling this with a sigh, somewhere ages and ages hence. Two roads diverged in a wood, and I took the one less traveled by, and that has made all the difference. And so this week, we think about what follows that turning, that courage to start again, which is identifying where our time and attention and our care should actually go. What is it that we should tend to when we're in that space, even if we're not rebuilding after something that's been difficult? How do we decide where to place our time and our attention and our love and our energy? And I think that springtime is the perfect time to be thinking about this kinds of important stuff, because spring reminds us that life takes shape precisely through what we choose to tend to. Our lives take shape through whatever it is we decide we're going to tend to. Springtime has a really beautiful way of revealing important things to us. Like, for example, whether we're ready or not, life is going to keep unfolding right in front of us. It doesn't matter whether we're ready or not for the things that come our way. Life is continually unfolding before our very eyes. It's very easy to speak about growth as something that can be bright or uncomplicated, spiritual growth, personal growth, growth in the natural world. But anyone who has ever tended to anything, whether it's a garden or a relationship or a calling, anyone, all of us know that growth asks something important of us. Tending to something asks something very important of us, and that is our attention. Our attention, which in my humble opinion is our gold. It is the most important thing that we have in a lifetime, our attention. Attention is never neutral. Wherever we place our attention shapes our lives, what takes place, what grows, and also what fades. We choose, and thus we must choose carefully, what to tend to, where to place our attention. The hand that waters is also the hand that chooses. We all know this. We're experiencing it every day of our lives. Time is finite. Energy is finite. And so a lifetime is formed quietly and persistently by what we choose to tend to. Sometimes I have this panic. I have this idea that after I die, someone's going to present me with a pie chart, and it's going to show me how I spent my time. Right? Imagine it. Just imagine it for a minute. That's why I'm definitely spending less time online. And I've thought of this many times. Every new year, I come back to this idea, right? A few hours a day online adds up to several hours a week, adds up to many, many, many hours over a year. Imagine this. If I spend 3 hours a day online doing different things, that adds up to 1,000 hours a year, which is 45 days, 45 full days. And if I do that for the next 10 years, I will have spent an entire year of my life looking at a screen. Very often, I will be the first to admit, not doing much of anything. Sometimes writing, sometimes being in touch with people I care about, but for the most part, and you are, I'm sure, on the same page, I would much rather talk to them on the phone or see them in person than interact with people I care about online. A lot of it, I speak for myself, wasted time. And I can imagine myself dead or dying and wanting that year back so that I can live it fully present in my life. So imagine occasionally just stop and think about the pie chart, what yours might look like. How you choose to spend your time really, really, really matters. And springtime, I'll always come back to the natural world. I think it's one of our best and most important teachers. Springtime gives us an opportunity to walk into, to just partner, to become aware, of where we're spending our time. What is it that we're doing with our days, with our hours, with our minutes even? What are we choosing to care about? The world is always going to be moving. Time is always moving forward, no matter what. Whether we participate consciously or not, seeds are opening, the light is returning, it's all happening around us while we're here in the midst of it. So this is a beautiful moment in time to think carefully. There is momentum to life, and it never depends on our readiness. But we always, always, always have a choice about how we meet that momentum, how we meet our lives, how we meet the world around us. So for our quiet reflection, you might want to consider trying to write a little haiku in your head this morning, 575. But for a few moments of quiet reflection now, I'd like us to think about the idea of welcoming spring. All of the gifts that are happening, everything that's happening around us, where will you put your attention? Because every single day is a new day, an opportunity to change. Every day, the gift of opportunity to change. What matters? What needs your love? What needs your attention? And maybe also at the same time, what can you release? What can you let go of?